Hello children, happy Sabbath, happy Sabbath, is everybody here? Okay, now we have to talk about Jesus, you know that, right? You know Jesus? Who's Jesus? God? Who else can answer me? Who's Jesus? God? Okay, Jesus, there are many Jesuses. Maybe you can meet someone out there with the name Jesus. Would you think that is the Jesus I'm talking about? No, of course. No, no way. So Jesus I'm talking about today is Jesus the servant. Jesus had been many things when he was here on earth. Did you know that? I'm talking about Jesus the servant. Do you know a servant? Do you know what service is, right? You know a service? What is a service? When you serve others, do some chores that you have to do seem unpleasant to you? Some things you have to do. There are times you have to do things, but you feel like, this is not good for me. I'm too good to do this. Have you ever felt like that? Jesus did some of the things that people thought they couldn't do. Now, Jesus and his disciples had gathered to celebrate Passover. Jesus knew this was the last meal he would eat with them before he died. And there was still so much he wanted to teach to his disciples. His disciples could feel that something was about to happen, but they expected him to take the throne and become the ruler of the country. I want you to look at me. Okay? Do you listen to Jesus? We have to listen to Jesus. Yes, we have to. They were waiting for him to set up a kingdom on earth, and each one wanted the best place in it. Every one of them believed he deserved the most important position. So in those days, usually a servant washed the guest's feet before dinner, especially an important dinner like the Passover. And everything was there in the room where they had gathered, the pitcher, the bowl, the towel, everything except the servant. Dinner was ready. If someone would just come and wash their feet, they could begin the Passover feast. The room grew quiet as they waited, uncomfortably quiet. None of the disciples could do what was supposed to be done. Everybody would look at the others. Each of them knew what needed to be done, but none of them would do it. I am not going to do the work of a servant, each one of them probably thought. I'm too good to do this. After all, they thought, like, now I am going to be the first in Jesus' kingdom. Jesus knew what his disciples were thinking. He desperately wanted to teach them that his kingdom was built on love. The way to show his love to others is to unselfishly put others first. Jesus' disciples had spent 3 years with him, but they still had not learned the most important lesson. Greatness in God's kingdom comes through humble service to others. So Jesus gave them one last example. Quietly, he got up from the table and took off his coat. He wrapped the towel around his waist. He poured water into the bowl. Without saying a word, he began to wash the disciples' feet. He did not lecture. He just did the job they each thought they were too important to do. Can you imagine how embarrassed they felt? Then it was too much to Peter. He couldn't bear it. "Lord, you cannot wash my feet," he exclaimed. "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me," Jesus replied. Jesus was washing more than the dust from his disciples' feet. He was washing away their pride and selfishness. He was teaching them to serve one another. He was showing them how to reach those to whom they would soon be preaching the good news. Jesus finished and sat down. Do you understand what I have done for you? What do you think that was? Sorry? A miracle? Is washing a miracle? Okay. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. This story, if you want to look at it, it's written in John chapter 14, verse 13. John 13, 1 through 17. I have given you an example. You should do as I have done for you. Serve others, Jesus was saying. Do not be ashamed to do anything that will show my love. Humility is the sign of true greatness. That night, Jesus' disciples learned a lesson they would never forget. Jesus wants us to learn that lesson too. When Jesus was finished, he gave another promise. Do you want to know what that is? Do you want to know that promise? Yes? Okay. I will not have another service like this until I share it with you in heaven. Someday we will be with Jesus and we will share in that special service. But for now, Jesus wants to help all of us live a life of helpfulness to others. That's one way to show God's love to others. So my message for you today is that we show God's love when we serve others. You should serve your friends, you should serve your family. Not because things are maybe unpleasant, you still have to do it. Did you hear that Jesus had been a servant someday? When you put others first, unselfishly, that's one of the ways to show God's love. Do you want to show God's love? Go out there and share it with your friend and show others love, and we'll be serving God in that way. Do you want to do that? That was my message for you. Go show God's love to others, and that's one of the ways to serve Him. Thank you so much. May God bless you. You want to pray for us? Who? You? You want to do that? Who wants to pray for us? Sean, you want to do that? You don't? Okay, I will do that for you. Let's humble ourselves in our hearts and pray. Thank you, Father, our loving, kind, and loving Master, for the gift of life, for the gift of the Sabbath. As we come before you today, let us humble our hearts and serve others and show your love to everybody out there. And everybody, we know your promise that when that day comes, we all will be with you and share the service with you. That's our humble prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and believe. Amen.
We're going to be reciting Matthew. We're going to be reciting Matthew 5:13 through 26. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under feet of men.
You are the light of the world, a city that sits on a hill that cannot be hidden.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Matthew 5:18. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not wise pass through the law until all be fulfilled.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
For I say unto you, that ye are For I say unto you, that if ye seek, for I say unto you, that if ye seek, for I say unto you, that except ye receive, except ye, except your, I'm going to have to read, I know it. For I say unto you, that except your rationing, shall exceed the rationing of the trial and the Pharisee, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
You have heard that it was said unto you, you shall not murder. And whosoever murder will be in danger of the judgment.
But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever will be in danger of the judgment. And who says to his brother, oh my gosh. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in judgment of the council. And who, I am so nervous, and who, I don't know this, but I am so nervous. Okay. But whoever say, you fool, shall be in judgment of hell fire. Therefore bring your gifts to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you. I am so sorry.
Leave your gifts therefore before the altar. And go your way first to reconcile to your brother, and come and offer your offering.
Agree with your adversary quickly while you are in the way with him, lest at any time your adversary shall deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast into prison. Verily I say unto you, you shall not come out from there till you have paid the last penny. And what I learned from those two verses, I thought about them and prayed about them, and what I learned from them is do all you can to get along with people. It's in your best interest, everyone's best interest, and as far as lies with you, be at peace with all men and do all you can to reconcile. Things will go much easier for all of us if we do. Amen.
And just as we've seen that we are not perfect, we all make mistakes. So anyone that's scared to do this, just have faith because it is a blessing. And the next class starts today at 5:30. So you see that we are not perfect and we do make mistakes. So please come to the next class. Okay? Thank you.
Time for prayer. If you'd like to join us here in the front, whether you have a blue card or not, if you'd like to join us for prayer, we'd love to have you. Or certainly for those who don't choose to come forward, we invite you to kneel in prayer where you are. Let us kneel. Father God in heaven, we praise you for the privilege of being able to come into your presence, to kneel at your feet, and to learn of you. Help us that we will not just listen, but help us that we will hear what the Spirit saith to our hearts. And help us that we go forth from this place to live out that which you are committed to empowering us to do. I praise you so much for all who are present today. I thank you so much for the ways that you minister to the needs of your children. I praise you for the children's story and the timeliness of that particular message and its relevance to today. I pray that you would give us a servant's heart, that you would help us as we recount all that our Savior has done for us. Lord, please forgive us if we are guilty of harboring ill feelings, resentment, bitterness. If we are choosing to hold on to pain that you're calling us to give up to you. I pray, Lord, that you would change our hearts, change our minds. Help us to understand that this communion service is yet another opportunity to be baptized afresh, to be washed in the blood of Jesus, to be cleansed through and through by the water of life himself. I pray, Father, that just as it was necessary for the disciples to come together on one accord in the upper room, that we too must have that experience of coming together if we are to finish the work committed to our charge at this hour of Earth's history. We praise you for the radio station and the power and the authority by which the three angels' message is going forth throughout this city. And I pray that you would prepare us, because in light of the unadulterated way that the messengers are being presented, we can expect that difficulties might come. In fact, they will come. But give us the courage to stand. Give us the courage to allow your Spirit to do his work in us so that we can be ready to meet you when you come, but not us alone, but that others can too be ready. Lord, we pray that you would be with every aspect of this worship experience today. Help us that we will not enter into it just out of routine or habit, but help us that we will enter into it with our whole heart. I pray, Father, that you would bless the cards, the petitions that have been expressed on these cards. You know all the specifics. You know what the needs are. And you know how to provide and supply those needs. I pray, Father, that you would be with those requests which have not been presented in writing but have been presented to heaven from the heart, that you would give your undivided attention and that you would either use existing circumstances to bring about the answers or that you would create those circumstances that would best produce the answers that would result in soul salvation. We ask, Lord, that those things that will be presented in music and in offering and in spoken word, that they will all work together to give us as your people just what we need most, in order that we would in turn give to others that which they need most. Thank you again, Lord, for your great love and for your saving grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
If I were to come to you and say, can I borrow your car? And you say, sure, here are the keys. And I jump, get into your car, turn it on. What radio station is going to come, not, is going to come on? Is it the latest rock and roll station? Country station, hip-hop, talk radio. Now, there are times when I turn on the news to hear the news, but the station that's on all the time right now is 3 a.m. Three Angels Broadcasting Network, Three Angels Seventh-day Adventist Church Network. There are a few amens out there. Anyone else want to say amen?
Amen?
Okay, very good. Now, this station is not fully paid for. For the last couple of Sabbaths, you had an opportunity to fill out a card to make a commitment, a pledge for the rest of the year. And so you have had the chance, and I haven't really had the chance to write anything down. So I'm going to do that right now, but I'm not going to tell you what I write. But you have had a chance, and maybe you still have the card at home. Maybe you don't have one. Maybe you never got one. We have some more outside. And we still are going by faith because we realized that we had more expenses than we thought we would have when it came to building this, preparing this station, 101.7 FM. So keeping that in mind, I'm going to write down an amount. I have to tell you. I'm not going to tell you what I write, but I'm going to tell you it's a sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice may be $100, $1,000, $100 a month, $50 a month, $10 a month. A sacrifice might be, for some of you, $1 a month. Maybe a penny amount if you are under two. If you're under two, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You know, you can have somebody write for you. Otherwise, we won't understand what you're writing. So I'm writing down right now what I have in mind for the radio station on a monthly basis for the rest of the month. And you can only guess what I'm writing. But I invite you to make a decision for yourself. And if you need a card, the cards are available right now. And also, you can do it either during the service or you can do it after the service. But if you do it now, you're welcome to put the card in the offering basket as it comes around in a few moments. The main offering today is going to the world budget. That means that whatever loose offering you put in the offering basket today will go to the world budget. You also have the opportunity to write in specific items, including the church budget and so forth, in the envelope that you see in the pew in front of you. You can put stuff in there. And then, of course, these cards. And we encourage you to participate. Total member involvement is helpful in every respect of the work, including the area of giving. And when we give, may we give as unto God, because it is to God and His work. And may everyone give according to what God has burdened your heart with, and may we respond to His call. So I'm going to invite the deacons, the ushers, to come forward now to take up today's offering. Heavenly Father, thankful that you have given us the best gift of all, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who came to show us what unselfishness is all about, what service is all about, what giving is all about. So thank you, Father, that you gave your only Son. We pray that each of these gifts that we have returned today will be a blessing to the world church, will be a blessing to the local church. And may you bless every heart that has given these funds cheerfully, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We have communion. And I do need slides. Communion, what is it? You know, every Friday, I'm going to see if I can get the screen on here. Keep going. Next. Next. Every Friday, the old man would walk the beach with a bucket full of shrimp. He was feeding the seagulls. Now, his name was Eddie Rickenbacker. And in October of 1942, he had been sent on a mission to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur. And the mission didn't go very well. Now, he and his crew ended up on a life raft in the Pacific Ocean because their plane had run out of fuel. And they had no food. And they didn't, you know, they realized that only a miracle could save them in the situation they found themselves in. And as they prayed, Rickenbacker felt something land on his head. And it was a seagull. And he grabbed the bird. And they used the intestines from the bird as bait, and they caught fish, and they saved their lives. They survived thanks to a seagull hundreds of miles away from shore. And that's why years later, Eddie Rickenbacker would feed the seagulls. From a heart full of thanks, he would remember the one seagull that had journeyed far into the ocean to sacrifice its life for his life. Now, like Rickenbacker, we too have a reason to look back. We have a reason to give thanks. And this morning, I just want to spend a few short minutes on the question, what is communion? And let me suggest to you three things that communion is. Communion is three things. The first one is it's looking back. That is looking into the past. Verses 23 to 25 of 1 Corinthians 11. And it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Now, most of us can think of some moments in our lives when something happened that changed everything. Something crucial happened. It could have been your wedding day. Maybe it was the birth of your first child. Maybe you were diagnosed with a serious illness. Everything that came after that moment was different from the way things were before that moment. Now, as children of God, we can say with Eddie Rickenbauer that we faced certain death, but we were rescued miraculously when we came to Christ. Without him, certain death. With him, eternal life. Now, for each one of us, the most crucial moment in our life, if you're a Christian, was when you asked Jesus to come into your life, when you invited him in. And the communion service is a time of remembrance of what Jesus did there 2,000 years ago on the cross. He was betrayed, his body, like the bread, was broken, and his blood, like the juice, was poured out for us. The God of all eternity loved us so much that he came to the earth to die for our sins. Jesus came and paid a terrible price so that we would not have to. This is the basic stuff that communion is made of. This is why we are remembering, taking time to remember through this communion service, what God did for us, that we may never lose sight of the basics. The problem we have as Christians is that we can too easily forget what God has done for us. We have short memories. And as the old expression goes, familiarity breeds contempt. Over time, we can lose sight of what God in Christ has done for us. And our relationship with Jesus can move from a relationship to an empty religion, blindly following a set of rules or rituals because we have lost sight of the basics. Now, God knew that we as people would have bad memories, poor memories, so he gave us communion as a constant reminder. When we participate in communion, we are calling to remembrance on a regular basis what God has done for us and what he's inviting us to do, and that is to give ourselves to him. Now, you can learn to give thanks even if you don't feel particularly thankful. If God gives a command, he expects obedience, whether you are in the mood for it or not. And thankfully, like forgiveness, thankfulness is not an emotion. It's not an emotion. It's an intelligent response of gratitude to God. Some years ago, on a hot summer day in South Florida, a little boy decided he was going to go swimming, and they had this swimming hole behind the house, and so he ran out, tore up his clothes while he was running, jumped right into the swimming hole, not realizing that an alligator was swimming towards him, towards shore where he was. And his mother looked through the window, and she happened to see that he was running right towards the alligator, and the alligator came towards him. And so she was very scared, so she ran towards the water. She yelled to her son as loudly as she could get, and hearing her voice, he realized something was wrong, so he turned around, going back towards shore, swimming towards his mother, but it was too late. Just as he reached her, the alligator reached him. The mother grabbed her little boy by the arms, just as the alligator snatched his legs. And that began an incredible tug of war between this mother and the alligator. And the alligator was much stronger than the mother, but the mother was very passionate, much too passionate to let go. And a farmer happened to drive by, and he heard the screams, and he got his gun out of his truck, and he shot the alligator. And after weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived. And his legs were extremely scarred by this vicious attack of the animal. His arms had deep scratches from where his mother's fingernails had dug into his flesh in an effort to hang on to the son that she loved. And the reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked if he would show him his scars. And the boy lifted his pant legs and he showed him his scars on his legs. And then with obvious pride he said to the reporter, "But look at my arms. And I have scars on my arms too. And I have them because my mother would not let go." Now, just like that mother loved her little boy, God loves each of us. He loved us so much that there are scars on his hands. Because he would not let go. He took the scars. And they are there to remind us, even in heaven, the scars are going to be there to remind us what he has done for us. Communion reminds us of the cost Jesus paid for our sins. And during our communion service this morning, let's take time to think of what your life would be like today if it had not been for Jesus. What was it like before Jesus found you? Secondly, communion is also about looking forward. It's about looking forward. The next slide says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So the Lord's table is not just about looking back, but also about looking forward. Remembering where you have come from is important, but it's hard to walk forward constantly looking backward. Communion reminds us that we have a hope and we have a future before us. And so we can also look anticipating that future, Christ coming. Jesus died on the cross, but he did not stay on the cross. The cross is empty. Jesus is alive. He's in heaven today, and he's ministering on our behalf. He is with us right here and now by his Spirit in this room. Because of the cross, we have a future and we have a hope. And as we take the bread and the juice in a little bit, we look forward to the day when Jesus will come back, because he said, "I will not drink of that juice until I come back for you." And that's going to be at the wedding feast of the Lamb, it's referred to in Revelation 19. And so all that we do today is a foretaste of what is to come. Now, I remember when I was a kid, when we had special occasions at home with especially delicious dinners prepared, I would sometimes sneak into the kitchen with my brother, or sometimes just alone, I would just take a little piece and put it in my mouth, and it was just a foretaste of what is to come. You know, communion reminds us of his coming. And then the third point, looking inward. Looking inward. Again, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 to 30. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep," Paul says. So lastly, when we participate in the communion, it's a time for searching our own hearts. We remember that Jesus has offered us salvation. We remember what he has done for us. And also what he will do for us is important to remember. But we also need to examine ourselves to see where we are right now. Where are we right now? How is our relationship with Christ today? It's important to search your heart as you come to this table. The Roman city of Pompeii was destroyed in AD 79 when Mount Vesuvius, right next to the city, exploded. And this was so unexpected and sudden that the residents were killed doing whatever they were doing, in a matter of seconds, men and women were at the market. The rich were in their luxurious baths, slaves at work. And here, these are actual people. Actual people. They're just frozen in the moment when they were caught by the lava. Every family suffered. Even the family pets suffered a quick and final fate on that day. Now, it doesn't take much imagination to picture the panic of that terrible day. I could show you many more pictures. I just didn't want to because I think this is enough. The saddest part is that these people did not have to die. Scientists confirm that, that city had warning signs. Ancient Roman writers wrote down that there had been weeks of rumblings and shakings before the actual explosion. In fact, there was smoke coming up from the top of that mountain, and it was visible for days before this actually happened. But life went on as usual in the city, and there was no regard for the warning signs. And you know, there are similar rumblings today in our world. There are rumblings all around us. And the scriptures tell us that these rumblings point to a sudden end, referred to as the second coming of Jesus. And so, my friend, when you go to your car and you turn on the radio, what station comes on? This is just indicative. Where are we? Where is our heart? I'm not saying you will always listen to our station, but I'm saying, you know, what is occupying your mind through the day? There is absolutely no reason why you and I should be caught unprepared. If Jesus were to return today, would you be ready to meet him? You know, we have been told not to take communion in an unworthy manner. Let us get our hearts right before him, if our hearts are not already right. And that doesn't have to take more than a moment. At this moment, if you dedicate yourself to him, if you say, Lord, I am not worthy, but I come to you, and I want to give my heart to you, I want to belong to your kingdom, I want to renew my covenant with you. I want to enter into the covenant for the first time in some cases. In other words, it's just about ensuring there is nothing between you and your Lord. Where are you today with your relationship with Jesus? In any relationship, it's always good to take time to review the good times. You pull out the photo album or you put on the home video or the wedding video in some cases that you still have. Maybe it's in a different format from what exists today and you have to transfer it to a different format from tape to DVD or who knows what. And you take another look to see where your relationship has come from. God did this often with Israel, with his people. He constantly reminded them of where they had come from, that they might remember his love for them. May each one of us remember that God has a claim on you. He is passionate about you. If he could, he will dig his nail into you to save you from the enemy. Metaphorically speaking, he will do that. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we enter into the communion experience, may each one of us find that this symbol is meaningful to us. May this be a moment when we rededicate our lives to you as we participate in this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you to sing a verse with me while the elders and the deacons are coming forward. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. We'll sing it through twice. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Again, as we participate in communion this morning, let us remember that Christ, through these symbols, illustrated what was coming for Him on that night when He instituted this event. And He knew what He was facing. He knew what was coming. And He illustrated His love to us by what happened. Now, His blood was shed for us, the grape, as we're eating the fruit of the grape, the juice. The juice had to be crushed for us to be able to drink it. He's the bread of life, the bread we eat. The flour had to be crushed. The grain had to be crushed in order to make the bread. And, you know, He suffered that we might have eternal life. He gave that we might receive. And so may each one of us experience that and take it to heart as we celebrate communion this morning. Our head elder, Kevin Bryant, will now lead us in prayer for the bread.
For I received from the Lord
that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance for Me." Bow your heads while we kneel. Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we want to take this time now in a special way to remember once again what You did 2,000 years ago by allowing Your body to be broken for us, for our sins, for taking all of our sins upon You. It broke Your body, broke Your spirit, and we want to remember how much You've done for us. In looking back, we also look forward because You said that You would take these emblems only again when we're with You in heaven. And so we can take joy in looking forward as well. We pray that Your blessing upon us as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen.
At this time, we will give you a chance to share a testimony. Microphones will come around, and if anyone has a testimony to share that relates to your experience of salvation, your experience of Christ at this time, please let us know, and the microphone will come to you. There's one in the back.
Okay, my testimony, I turn to my brother and sister, pray for New York. I take New York three days ago. I am happy. My boss is good man. I tell him, he's working 7 days a week. He talks to me, Carlos, you coming tomorrow? I tell him, no, I not working Saturday. Why? You need money? Yeah, I need money. God is fear. This is the money, the second. He said, okay, Carlos, no problem. I am very happy for working. Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Any others?
I'm grateful that even though my life has had a lot of pain and hurt, that God has allowed me to find my dad and to make amends with him and to find forgiveness for him, and that I could see that he loved me and that I loved him before he passed, and I'm grateful for
Amen.
That.
Amen.
Amen.
Any others? Go ahead.
I just want to thank God for being here today. I just want to thank God for being here today. And I just want to thank him for giving me the strength, the faith, and the courage to overcome the enemy of souls.
Amen.
And the attack on my health, my living situation, and my whole complete faith and trust in the Lord. And I just want to thank him that no matter what you go through in this life, just know that God is always there. And he is always willing and ready and able.
Amen.
Anybody in this church that has aught against me or me against them, I forgive and I ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
I don't want to take communion and not be right with Amen. The Lord. So I just want to thank him for being here. And I just want to tell everybody that I love him and I always keep everyone in my prayers.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. At this time, we will continue testimonies in a little bit. Jesus said, this bread represents my body. Take it and eat it in remembrance of me. One of our elders, Omari Chiari, will now be reading scripture as well as leading us in prayer when it comes to the Jews.
I'm going to read from the book of 1 Corinthians 11, 25 to 26. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And we kneel down and pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you that we can come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, if we have misrepresented you in any kind of form or way, we ask for your forgiveness, Father, as well as for everything that we've done against your will, Father, and every sin, Father, we ask for your forgiveness as well, too, Amen. Father. As we partake, Father, in this communion, Father, may you be with us. May you dwell amongst us, Father, and bless us, Father. I pray this, trusting in Jesus' name, I do pray and believe. Amen.
Is there anyone else that would like to share a testimony that you have of gratefulness, thankfulness to God? Brian, you have one in the back there. Brian would like to share. How recent is your experience? Do you have a daily experience? Do you have something to share? Think about that while Brian is sharing.
I am thankful that the Lord does not leave us where we're at. A couple weeks ago, Pastor preached on coming out of Babylon, and Babylon has fallen. And over the past years, and it's a continue, because I'm not fully sanctified, but the Lord is sanctifying me daily, bringing to mind things that I should not have in my life. Years ago, I thought movies and any type of music was okay. And it was shown to me through media on the brain, the evils and how Satan deceives us through media. And after that point, It confirmed something I already did at that point. I, as a family, my wife and I, we threw away all the DVDs that we had. I got rid of all the music that was not holy and just even some of the Christian music I thought was holy. Even some of the Christian movies I thought was holy. And the Lord is continuing to work on my heart with various things that that I need to actually add into my life. More of, you know, when I'm at work, I usually tend to stay to myself. But, you know, we are in the last days and we need to tell people as much as we can about the coming of our Lord Jesus. Amen. And the truth that they need to know. Even to the point where a couple weeks ago, some Mormons came up to our door and wanted a Bible study. with us. Of course, they're trying to convert me, but unbeknownst to them, I'm telling them the truth. And so just the opportunity, because these young men that are studying with us, they are in need of a Savior as well as us.
Amen.
I just want to say that while I was thinking about where I would be if it were not for Jesus, I am very thankful that I'm not there, but that I'm here.
Thank you. We have one more here, and that is Veronica.
I want to praise God for just being a personal God. This morning I was talking to the Lord about a matter, and I had expressed to him that it almost seemed that he was silent on this situation that I've been praying about. And I asked him, was the seeming silence a test for me and a strengthening of my faith, or is it because of sin or sins in my life that he's trying to make me aware of that need to be uprooted? And then I mentioned to him a matter that sometimes is a little blurred in my mind, and I asked him if he would give me a biblical illustration that would really make it clear to me as to how to understand the difference. And so he brought to my mind John 15, ye are the vine, I am the vine, ye are the branches. So I was reading that. And then as I was driving this morning, I turned on 3ABN. And the program that came on, I was just so awed at God because he specifically heard and answered. I mean, the whole message was totally relevant to just the things that I was talking to God about.
Amen.
And then in addition to that, they mentioned John 15. And I thought, Lord, you are just so personal. And so even while I'm still looking to know his will in the matter that I'm praying for, he made it clear that he does hear and he is answering. And so the silence, again, has a purpose. And so I will continue to await God's timing.
Amen. Thank you.
Just before we finish, I want to thank God for a church family that prays. And many of you know that my mother was very ill about a month ago. Many prayers sent up, and we have a God that hears our prayers. And I don't know if you caught what Carlos was saying last week at prayer meeting. He was asking prayer to find a job, and I believe that's what he was saying. God answered, gave him a job. Jesus said, this juice represents my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me. When they were done with their meal, they went out from the upper room into the garden, and they were singing songs. And we're going to sing one closing song right now. It's number 462 in your hymnal.
It's a blessed assurance. After the song, the deacons will be at the door taking up the offering, emergency fund that we have for those in need. And so there will be an offering at the door on the way out. So number 462, blessed assurance. Let's stand, let's sing that song together.